The last thing we left off in chapter 11 here. The whole earth had one language. It was a perfect place, right? We had one language, and I keep hitting this mic here. One language, and things were looking pretty good. It always seems like when we get settled in something, right? When we get maybe a little proudness in our blood, we kind of think, "Wow, we've got it all together. Everything's perfect now." And we start to depend less on the Lord, and we start to manipulate and do the things on our own will, and we want it our way, right? And I think that might have happened here in Babylon, so they built this tower, right? And it says in verse 3, and they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks." You know, that's like one of the first problems that we have, right? We start making things, right? We start doing God's work. You know, what God's supposed to be doing, we start to do. You know, we start to be Him. You know, and I think we've all done it. We've all done it where we're starting to make things happen on our own. We start to make the bricks, you know. However, God doesn't make bricks. He makes stones. You know, bricks are our replication of what the stone looked like, right? This building's got a lot of mortar and stuff in it, but it's not stone. It's not pure stone, you know. And so, and then look at our basements, right? Our basements, some of them are cinder blocks. Some of them we've got stone in them, but they're concrete. You know, it's man's doing, and man's laying of foundations. And we got to be careful that we don't somehow think that we can make what God has made. Bricks and baked them thoroughly in the bricks, and had bricks for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. In the that asphalt is slime in the King James. It says they had slime for mortar. You know, that's about the best we can do to kind of concrete them bricks together to try to even attempt to formulate what God's done. We have nothing but slime that joins it together. And sometimes I think that sometimes our lives are, you know, the things that are happening within our lives, we got to look at and say, are they joined because of God's hand? Or are they joined because of our hand? And we got to be careful that we don't join things in our own strength, that we don't do things in our own strength, that we don't try to be God in our lives. And we start, our dependency starts to be upon what we can do. And we lose the perspective of what God can do. Right? That's why we don't live in miracles, I think, today, is because we have so much dependent upon what God can do, or what man can do in his own life, that we don't know that God can still do the miracles, the impossibilities, right? And things that, I mean, think about it. I kind of challenged you this weekend, right, about what do we do when we get sick? Do we call upon the Lord and say, "You know, I'm sick. Could you heal me?" Or do we go to the doctor? Right? Not to say the doctors aren't good. I mean, God has placed them there with that skill level, and it's good, right? We shouldn't be foolish. We shouldn't be fools. But in the same token, who do we go for first, right? Because God has enabled that doctor. It's not been that man that has enabled himself. God has given him the brains. God has given him the talent. God's given him the skills of his hands. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be be scattered abroad over the face of the earth." They were afraid of what was going to happen. They wanted to make a name for themselves. And remember, probably a few weeks ago when I shared with you after the pastor's retreat, I shared with you about TARDIS. And TARDIS had a name, right? And even though they had a name, their character wasn't the same as that name. I want my character to be the same as my name, right? I want people to know my character and know who Fred is that way, rather than my name meaning something that it doesn't, right? I want them to see, and I think you do too. You want them to see who you are, truly. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built, and the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they have begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them." God said, you know what, if you want to do this, have at it. Right? If this is something you want to do, have at it. If you don't want to consider me in your life, have at it. Let's see how it goes. Right, and sometimes we've had those experiences, right, when we've rebelled against the Lord and we've done things outside of His will, and the Lord says, you know what, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you have at it. You do what you want to do. Comes a point in time where we've got to learn our own lesson, right? God's gave us the commandments. He's given us the things to live by, yet we've decided that it wasn't important enough for us to live by Him, so therefore we're going to go do what we're going to do. And He said, you know what, I'm going to let you do that. I'm going to let you do that, and I'm going to show you that you're not God. Right? So they had a carnal mind, and it says, come, let us go down. And it's interesting, it says, come, let us go down. Right? Us. Not just one singular God there, but I believe it was Jesus. It was where we see Jesus and the Father together, said, hey, let's go down. Let's go down. And there confused their language. You know, it was something that they didn't even want it, right? God was going to, if they had stayed with God, God wouldn't have scattered them. If they had stayed with God, God wouldn't have confused them. There wouldn't be confusion. I think that's one of the signs for us, is that when we get confused in the matters. We think, I'm so confused about this. God isn't a God of confusion. He wants to give us answers, right? So it should be a sign to us that, hey, maybe we're not in that spot that we need to be. Maybe we need to get with the Lord, and we need to get out of this sign of confusion. Verse 8, so the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city, the thing in which they set out to do. God then didn't allow them to. Therefore, its name is Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. So this was the point in time in which we see that God turned them over, in a sense, to their reprobate mind. Romans 1:28 says that, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, right? These people, they didn't want to retain the Lord in their knowledge. They wanted to do it their way, right? And we get into that same habit. God gave them over to the reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient. It wasn't even convenient for them to do. They went out of their way to do them. So we have the Tower of Babel, and then we go through the descendants of Shem, and we end up in verse 26 there, as we learn that obviously Abraham was part of the descendants of Shem. Then we come upon verse 12, and and one of the things I think in chapter 11 there, verse 28, it tells us that his father was Terah, which was in a native land of Ur of the Chaldeans, and we remember Ur of the Chaldeans as being the place in which Daniel was part of that, right? And it talks about the Chaldeans there and how, in a sense, how mystical they were and everything, and how they were of the world, right? They are a picture of the world and worshiping other gods and whatnot. And so we know that Terah was an idol worshiper, and it's interesting, but you guys know your background, right? And don't you ever think back and go, Lord, how'd you get me here? Lord, how'd you get me out of that? Lord, how'd you get me to this point where I have a relationship with you? Lord, that person could be mean because I was there. I was there, Lord. Why'd you save me? Don't you stand in awe sometimes and think about, wow, Lord, that could have been me. Why out of my whole family you saved me, Lord? Right? Don't you wonder that sometimes? And you think about it, and it should make us stand in awe. And I'm thinking that Abram at some point stood before the Lord as he spoke to him as a friend. And he spoke to him, and I'm sure that he thanked the Lord for pulling him out of this idolatry that his family had so embraced and had walked away from the Lord. But we should marvel at it. We should be thankful that the Lord has pulled us out of that kind of life. And it says in chapter 12, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country. Get out of the place in which you live. Get out of the place where you feel comfortable, right? And he says, and from your family. I want you to get away from your family. Why? Because they're a bad influence. They uphold different traditions. They uphold traditions that are foreign to me. They uphold idolatry, which is foreign to me. I want you to worship me. I want you to worship the God of the universe, the Creator God, Jehovah. I want you to worship Yahweh, Elohim, right? And from your father's house to the land in which I will show you, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Wow. I think the one thing that I gather from this is God will. Right? And he will do it. If he shows you something, if he tells you something, and he confirms that he will do it, he will do it. Right? We can go to the bank on that one. Right? We can, I will show you, I will make, I will bless. I will bless. I will curse. He says, I will. God will. He doesn't say, Abraham, you will. Abraham, you will bless. Though he said that he would be a blessing to others. Right? It's God that does it. We have very little to do with it, don't we? When it comes down to it, we look at what the Lord is doing within our family, within our church, within the people around us, and they see us, and perhaps they see us, and they want to have something that we have, and they're wondering what it is that we have, and why does he smile all the time, and why is he joking around, and why does he have that countenance about him, right? Or why does she? Right, but we have very little to do with it. The only part that we have in it is to accept God and to, we sang about trusting him, right? To trust him in everything, to believe that he is God and he will do it, right? He says, I will bless. I will. So we see Abram being snatched out, being pulled out, you know, of this idolatry family. We see him leaving his country, leaving his family, leaving his father's house. That tells me inheritance wasn't important to Abram after God told him to leave. Because when I think of my father's house, I think of, I'm going to be getting an inheritance. Why would I want to leave that? But that wasn't important to him. See, his father in heaven was much more important to him. And wherever he was going to go was much more important to him than if he stayed and got that inheritance. And this speaks to me because I'm analytical, right? I'm always trying to figure things out, right? I've always been that way. And I, even when I was little, my sister would kind of always think I was up to something, right? Because I was always the kid that was trying to make the extra buck. You know what I mean? What can I do to make an extra buck, you know? I started working when I was 12 years old on a farm, you know? And I did it because, not because I was enjoying the farm life necessarily, it was because I wanted to make money, right? And along the way, I would try things. Like, I'd start my own little businesses and stuff. And I would try to be an entrepreneur, in a sense, right? But this spoke to me about, you know, the way even I live today, right, is that, or we live today, we always think that we have to have an income, number one. But God said that we should, in order for us to eat, what did he say we had to do? Work. Did he ever say that we were going to get paid for being to work? He never says that. He just says that what you need to do in order to eat is to work. He goes, I want to see you be diligent about your work. And guess what? I'll provide for you. So he doesn't tell us that by working we're going to earn something, right? That we're going to do it. He says by working I'm going to do it. And I think for me, you know, I look at things like my retirement, right? Well, I got to have enough for retirement, and I got to have enough for the kids to go through college. And you get wrapped up in this, and all of a sudden, who's providing for your needs? I am. I'm providing for my needs. I'm not relying on the Lord anymore, you know? I'm sitting down with my... I'm not saying not to be a good steward with your finances and all that, right? Because I expect that the Lord has given you a certain wealth that you should take care of that wealth, right? However, I don't think it should be our dependency. Our dependency should be on the Lord. And so when we look at the Lord and he says, Fred, go here. I don't say, well, let me go check my bank account, because then that foretells if I'm going to go someplace. That makes up my mind. It's not the Lord, you see. And so we got to be careful that who we trust in. But that spoke to me. It said, Fred, are you willing to do it, even if it doesn't make sense? Are you ready to leave your inheritance, Abram, even if it doesn't make sense? Because I will do it. I will do it if I've told you to do it. And the crazy thing is that Abram went to a place that he wasn't even familiar with. Some people say that faith is stepping, right? Is taking that step. Have you heard of that? I'm taking a step of faith. Where are you going? I'm going back home. That's not where Abram is going. He wasn't going back home. He was going someplace. He didn't have no idea where he was going. He was just going. Right? So, are we taking the step of faith? Are we doing something that we're used to doing? It's old territory. It's old memories. Whatever it is, right? The challenge is that to be like Abram. Don't compare yourself to Abram unless you go someplace you don't know where you're going. Because that's what he was doing. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, not as his neighbor did, not as his Christian friends would. He did it because the Lord spoke to him. And, you know, that's the challenge, right? Is that we don't do things because somebody told us to do them. I have some good friends. I'd love to have them right here. But I'll never tell them to come. Because they might come. And I don't want them to come unless the Lord shows them to come. Right? Because it would be for naught. It would be for naught. But you want them to come and do as the Lord has told them. And Lot went with him. And Lot went with him. And I don't know if that was a good thing or not. Sometimes the luggage gets heavy, right? But he towed Lot along with him. And then it says, and then Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired at Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. And Abraham passed through the land of the place called Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. And the Canaanites were then in the land. And so this land in which the Lord had called Abram, he went into it and it was already occupied. And he said, wait a minute, Lord, why am I here? You know, why am I here? In this place of Shechem means shoulder. So he walked up to that shoulder. And this is the same place that Gideon met up with the Midianites. Right? Remember he fought the Midianites? Remember Gideon's faith? When Jesus, or God said to him, hey, you got 30,000? How about 1%? And finally, after putting, you know, testing the Lord's, wondering if it was really what the Lord would have for him, he decided yes. And by faith, he went to Shechem, his shoulder there, and did what he was supposed to do with them 300 men. And this Moreh means instruction. So Abram didn't necessarily go there just to take over the land, but to gain instruction from the Lord of how to do it. Right? He didn't just go there saying, hey, I'm Abram, I'm pretty special, so. But he went there by the instruction and the hand of the Lord. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to the descendants I will give this land. So he was looking out on this shoulder here. And looking out, and the Lord said, confirmed to him, hey, I am going to give you this land. And so the Lord promises him this land and his descendants. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. You know, as we take these steps of faith, you know, don't forget after you take these steps of faith and you see the Lord work in them, that you sit down with him. You sit down with him and give him thanks, right? We got to continue to give him thanks because, see, the problem with us is that we, in our carnal minds and hearts, we want to, what, take credit for it, right? So it's easy to revert back into that, I'm going to take credit for this, what I've done in my life. I was poor, right? It's so easy for me to do that too, because my parents, I'll tell you this, when my parents were, when I was in high school, probably late high school, I remember my parents finally sharing their income with me, like what they made, like, you know, how much they made a year. My mom was working and my dad was working, and it was the highest they've ever made in their lives. And I remember it like it was yesterday. They made $14,400 that year. I remember it as clear as a bell. Because I think the Lord wants to continue to remind me. When I got out of college, I made three times as much as they ever made max. My first job, my first day, kind of thing. And it would be easy for me to say, hey, you know what? I was poor. But look what I've done. I went and got myself an education. I worked hard. I stayed up late. I got myself a master's degree. I got myself that job. I worked those years. And it's easy for us to get in that tone where we're like, we forget what the Lord did for us. Right? It wasn't me that did that. He enabled me to do that. Right? And we need to have a timeout, like, and just sit down and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for making it possible that I could be where I'm at. I mean, all those things that the Lord did so that I could have a Bible study at Xerox. Wow. You know? And I saw people get saved out of the Bible study. And so easy it is to say, wow, maybe it was the way I taught them. Right? But we can't take any of that credit, even here in Elmira, right? We've got to just lay it at the feet of the cross and say, thank you, Jesus. Remember, we're going to take our crowns and we're going to throw them down there anyways. They're going to be worthless to us because we're going to be in the presence of the Lord for eternity. And that should be enough. That should be enough. But this place, Bethel, the house of God, was on the east of Bethel, he was. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, and Ai on the east. Ai was a heap of ruins, so he saw, meaning the heap of ruins, so he saw the heap of ruins, and he saw the house of God, you know. And to me, I remember what I was. Heap of ruins. And now I remember. Now I can see the house of God. I can, you know. I thought because I was the heap of ruins that I wasn't able to experience the house of God, right? As sinners, sometimes we think that. God says, no. This is where I want you. I want you in my house. What a wonderful place to be. And he continued on, and so Abram journeyed, going on till the south. And he went south, and then it says, and now there was famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. Let me ask you something. Would you come to my house if I offered you supper? And if you got there and there was none, would you leave? And sometimes we would, right? Sometimes we think that becoming, this is the false gospel, becoming a Christian, that there's no famine in the land, that it's riches. And you hear this prosperity gospel, right? That you become a Christian and you don't have to worry about famine in the land. But that is a trick and a deception from the enemy. That there is going to be those times of famine. Does that mean that God isn't there with you? Does that mean that God has put you in a... Or if you're... Perhaps you think that maybe you're in a place that you shouldn't be because of difficulties. But God says, that's not true, right? That He's still within that famine that's in the land. He's still there. But see, Abram got there in the land, and he didn't expect, because God had sent him there. He thought, there's riches, right? So, there was famine in the land, so what was his reaction? But his reaction was to continue to go south, because he didn't want to experience the famine, but there was something, I'm sure, within that famine that the Lord wanted him to learn, but he wasn't staying put to learn it. So he continued to go south, and he continued to go down towards Egypt, it says, and continue to move down towards Egypt, and look what it leads to. You know, that Egypt always seems to be a picture of the world. And it says in verse 13, he said to Sarai, "Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you." Was he thinking about her sake, or was he thinking about his own skin? See, when we start to walk outside the will of the Lord, when we start to think because where we live isn't what we desire necessarily, you know, we get incontent, don't we? Or am I the only one? I get incontent sometimes, and I start looking around. Maybe I should go here. Maybe I should go there. But really, where does the Lord want you? Where does He want us? You know, where does He want us? Where does He will us to be? And when we start doing that, when we start to be discontent, there's something that happens to us that we start to forget about others. We forget about the Lord, what He wants us to do, and we start to think about everything that centers around me and what makes me feel good. And eventually, we find out what we thought made us feel good doesn't really make us feel good anymore. Because it's all a moment, right? You give me a piece of chocolate, I'm pretty happy. But it doesn't last long. Right? Doesn't last long, right? Pretty soon the chocolate's gone and back to the normal dry taste in my mouth. But the thing is, he went into Egypt, and remember in the beginning of this chapter, we saw that who was supposed to be a blessing? Right? It says here, "You shall be a blessing. I'm going to make your name great, Abram, and you'll be a blessing. You're going to be a blessing." And then he goes and he lies, and the plague hits, and Pharaoh feels the plague. Do you think that Pharaoh was blessed by Abraham in his presence, in his country? I don't think so. Matter of fact, he cursed him and threw him out, in a sense. Right, and wanted him to leave because he saw that his unfaithfulness to God did something to him, actually impacted him. And I think that goes to say for us, when we step outside the will of God, we don't only impact ourselves, but we impact others, right? I can impact my family by taking a left turn instead of a right turn. So we got to be careful that we don't just do what we want to do for no good reason other than it's to satisfy our carnalness, to satisfy our desires. Right? We got to be careful of that. And even Abram, when he was sent out, he was sent out by the Lord. He wasn't sent out by a man. Right? I remember when we came here, Pastor Scott pulled me in with three other guys. Right? And he said, "I want you to pray about something." Okay. So he explained and everything. Okay. So we went off and we all got in our own prayer closets, right? And the Lord sent me here. Pastor Scott didn't send me here. Pastor Scott didn't come up to me and said, "I'm sending you there." Right? It was the Lord, right? The Lord sent us here. How did He send us here? Well, He opened up this, and He showed us through His Word. Right? He confirmed things through circumstances for sure that he had showed us first in the Word. We got to be careful, right? That we don't get to the stoplight and it's green and we go, oh, it's got to be the Lord. It's got to be the Lord talking to us, right? I'm telling you, that is a bad recipe. That's a recipe for disaster, right? We start using circumstance of the world. So-and-so called me, he's never called me after 5. Right? And then, they text me, and I haven't heard from them in 3 months. I'm going to the North Pole. Santa Claus did come. You know, that kind of stuff where we start looking at circumstances around us and declaring them that there's signs from the Lord. And the Word is full of those happenings and the warnings of that the Lord has given His people to say, watch out, don't do that. Right? Don't do that because you're up for a fall. Not that He would forsake you. God, you can go across the country on your own dime, right? God won't forsake you. He loves you too much. He'll probably try to talk you all out of it, all the way over to where you're not supposed to go. He'll do that. He won't forsake you. Might be a rough trip, though. Because when you get there, see, this is what happens. When you get there, things start happening that you didn't think was going to happen. Right? Man, what are we going to eat tonight? What are we going to eat tonight? Rice is getting old. This is like the 18th day, and I'm tired of rice. You know? That's how I was in college. I ate more rice than that, and every time I went over to Karen's, what did I have, honey? Okay, I won't say what I had, but I always tease her about it because it seemed like that was the case. Tuna fish casserole. Just kidding. You know, but the thing is, you know, we get in that and we panic and we start going, oh no, did the Lord send us here, right? But if we can, believe me, we've been here, right? We've been here a year and a half now, and there's times when I ask the Lord, did you really send us here? Right? But I can go back and I can share with myself because I need to. Or this is what you showed me. And I'll say, oh yeah, I am supposed to be here. Whether you guys think it or not, it doesn't matter to me, but I know the Lord sent us here, right? So that's what we had to rely on, His Word. And the proof is in His Word for us. Right? So don't ever confirm things because of the happenings of the world and the circumstances. God wants to speak to you. So chapter 13. God, even though you could say that Abram wasn't faithful, right, to his calling, he didn't stay put when God wanted him to stay put. But he went to Egypt. He still led him out of Egypt back to that point which he should be. And I think the Lord does that for us too, is that even though sometimes we get anxious and we want to do things for the Lord, yet it's in the flesh and we end up going around in circles. And I've seen a lot of people go full circle before, you know, they leave one place and all of a sudden they're back with you because the Lord showed them, you know. The Lord showed them along the way. He teaches us for sure. But He's faithful. He's faithful to take them back to where they started. And He said, and He went on verse 3 there, it says, and He went on His journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where His tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai. God was faithful to lead him back there to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. I don't think along the way here, as he went south to Egypt, did you see the altar until he went back to the place in which God had placed him, and then to the place in which he was content there to be where God had placed him. And I think then the altar came about again. You know, there was that time when the altar came about and there was thanksgiving for Abram there. And the cool thing is that I think anyways, at least from my perspective, he says to the place where his tent had been from the beginning. Right now, today, we live in a tent. Right? This is all temporary, folks. You know, so sometimes we get wrapped up in the, you know, I think about all the frills that we have today. And sometimes I think we just need to peel them things away. Peel them away. Get back to simplicity. Right? In this simple tent. Because to me, it's a picture of mobility, right? If I've got a tent, I pull the stakes up, I put it in a backpack, and I'm off again, wherever the Lord sends me, right? I don't have a tight hold on the world. I bet Abraham didn't have a lot of debt. What do you think? Think he had a lot of debt? I don't. But see, today we live in that world where debt is acceptable to us, right? But I'll tell you what, the Lord calls you into the mission field. Are you able to go? Or do you feel tied down? You know, it's something to consider, right? Lord, if you called me today to go here, maybe he hasn't yet, but if he has, if he did, would you be able to go? Would you have a loose rein and say, hey, you know, I'm free. I can go today. You want me to go today, Lord? Okay, I'll go. You know? And that's really what he wants us to be, I think. I think he wants us to be free. And some of that has to do with being good stewards, right? With our finances. Not spending it on goofy things. Saving. Saving some of our wealth for that day in which the Lord calls you.